Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course, that's the name football, of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got, and it might be hard to listen, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches, and kids can grin the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Esty, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too?
Welcome back to the Mountain West Connection podcast, where we are fan 1A and 1B of not Jeff Tedford, Jeremy Moss here, Matt Kennerly over there, specifically not Tedford.
I am 1A though.
Yes, 1A. Let's say this, so let's say you're not, well for me, I will say I'm not Tedford in the way they're going about doing it. I would be okay if they actually did a natural search, but we'll get to it in a minute. MWCConnection.com, that's our website. Again, plenty of people listening to this podcast. I don't know how you're finding it. Maybe we're getting better. Are we actually getting better at this, Matt? Maybe?
Maybe they like our Tedford talk. Maybe they like that. Maybe we're somehow less biased these days, and that's working out for people. I don't know.
Twitter, I would say that's impossible.
Okay, that's true.
I'm just curious. Yeah, our Twitter handle, that's MWC Connection, Facebook Mountain West Connection. And for the first little bit, if you guys want to fast forward and you're not a Fresno fan, that's fine. We're going to talk about the coaching search now because it's a freaking mess.
Coaching search?
Exactly. What search? What search is there?
It's like a heat seeker missile.
That's a good example. I'll start off with this. There was the... Well, let's go back to the press conference. We talked about it last week in our show, but I guess we did 20 minutes plus. But the one thing I noticed, which state law requires this job to be open for 2 weeks.
Yes, it's already open. If anybody out there would like to apply,
the link is on our website. I put a quick article about how it's a joke. And two things with that, it has to be open 2 weeks. So a hire officially cannot take place until November 7th. And so two things with that. Like, I've been part of jobs where I know I applied for, found it later. It was going to be promised to one guy, but they had to have it open. That happens a lot. I don't care about that, but according to people out there, Jeff Tedford was the guy. Basically, he's going to be hired before the body was cold or before he was hung from the guillotine. Drudder was not even officially out yet. And this guy was Tedford, we're referring to Jeff Tedford, that is, former CFL coach. I'm not going to say former Pac-12, Pac-10 school coach. Can I go as former CFL coach?
You can say whatever you like.
Former college football play drawer.
Soon to be former Washington analyst.
There you go. Here's a couple things. Like, let me start. We'll go back and forth because there's a lot we could say about this because we're both pretty much on the same page. Putting the job out there is fine. You know, it's 2 weeks, but there's reports, like I said, right away. Another one today from Sporting News out there as well saying, hearing the same things. Who's going to apply? Because part of the NFL thing, like, we joked around right before we got on here. Your list has
Jagodzinski.
Yes, I apologize. I said a fight before the show. I'm like, jeez. That guy, former BC coach. It's going to come back full circle. He actually won an ACC title with BC, which nowadays, if they could score a field goal, they're cheering in the streets. He interviewed for the Jets head coaching job, fired. That sucks. That shouldn't happen. But a lot of times when jobs are opening, the reason I'm bringing him up because they will go for interview even though they kind of know they're not going to get the job, but they want to go through the process,
mm-hmm.
which is a good thing. Like, even if they know they have their guy, or it's like the Rooney rule in the NFL. You got to at least fake or pretend to interview a minority candidate for their head coaching job or a front office personnel position. So with this job being open and all the reports out there for Tedford, unless the coach really, really wants to go through the process, and who knows how much of an interview or how much time Jim Bartko wants to spend with the guy, 4 hours, 5 hours, multiple interviews, multiple day interview, how much time he wants to listen to a guy, even though it could be beneficial down the road to both parties, possibly, why would I want to interview for a job or apply for a job I know I'm zero chance to get? And that could rule out possible candidates. Like I mentioned, Bob Stitt, I like him. I think he could be a good fit, not a huge jump. FBS, a team that needs to rebuild, but it's not going to an extremely high-profile job where he's going to want to win right away. And so my thinking is, who's going to want to apply, either get slapped around or get a token interview that's really a joke and not a real interview where you prepare your playbook, you prepare your philosophy and all sorts of things like that. I don't know who would want to apply for that type of job when they know there's no chance of getting it. And you may not get the respect you deserve during the interview as well.
Yep. So, I mean, to me, it's like all of that, and you end up with Jeff Tedford.
Eh.
And I think, I mean, I've talked at length to a lot of Fresno State fans, you know, not only, you know, on Twitter and stuff like that, but I also write occasionally for the Bark Board over on scout.com. And I put together a list, and, you know, it's been divisive, to put it kindly. One of Jim Sweeney's daughters, I guess, called my list quote unquote total bullshit.
So who's Jim Sweeney? Because I didn't know who it was when we spoke before.
That is the legendary head coach of the Fresno State Bulldogs before Pat Hill.
Okay.
College Football Hall of Fame coach.
Was there any explanation to why? Or was that the only
comment? None whatsoever. And, you know, I've tried to engage with a lot of the arguments, and, you know, you can get the rundown of that on my article that I put up, I think it was a couple days ago at this point.
Go check that out.
Yeah, so I came up with my own list, and I really built it around, like, four different things that if it were up to me, I would look for. Like, the ability to develop a quarterback, affordability, youth, and coordinator experience.
Hey, so Lonnie Galloway fits that pretty well.
Yeah, so, I mean,
ever heard of Lamar Jackson, folks?
Yeah, if you've watched Lamar Jackson at all this year, just know that it's not all Bobby Petrino, right? You know, Lonnie Galloway is Louisville's offensive coordinator, and that's exactly the kind of guy that they should have an eye on. Because, you know, a guy like that should be able to take someone like Chasen Virgil and, you know, turn him into a weapon, not only with his arm, but with his legs. Turn him into a true dual threat quarterback, right? I'm already running into people who aren't convinced that Chasen Virgil isn't the future. Never mind that he has another 3 years of eligibility after this. I'm running into people who place like such a high value on the fact that Jeff Tedford has Fresno State connections. To which I say, who cares? Like,
Michigan where they wanted to go with whatever they're doing, but come on, a couple years ago.
And I was talking briefly with Merrick Warzowski, who's a columnist for the Fresno Bee, earlier this afternoon. He and I were talking about the fact that, you know, it's a 2 or 3 year job, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but somehow we ended up with like completely different conclusions because of that. Like the common, you know, conclusion that people come up with is like Jeff Tedford's the safe hire, right? And to me, like if you look at some of the coaches that were hired 2 or 3 years ago, the coaches that are winning big right now are the guys who weren't exactly safe hires. And I'm talking about guys like PJ Fleck at Western Michigan, you know, someone like Jeff Brohm, who was the OC at Western Kentucky before they elevated him to being their head coach. But, you know, he didn't have any connections to the Hilltoppers before they hired him.
Really quick on PJ Fleck, just for a moment. I'll let you get back to it, but I'm looking at his Wikipedia page. Yes, he was in the MAC a little bit. He was a freaking wide receiver coach in the NFL than head coach with the Bucks. And so that's a pretty big jump. He was never an OC before. Like, it just really quick, he was the GA at Ohio State, wide receivers coach at NIU and Rutgers and in Tampa. No coordinator. That's not a safe hire. Regardless of, even if you go experience, connection, that's like an out of the blue hire if I ever saw one.
Exactly. And I mean, he's just kind of the most extreme example, but like, you know, other guys like, you know, Philip Montgomery at Tulsa, you know, the Golden Hurricanes 5-2. And we saw just what his team could do up close and personal earlier this season.
They're going to win the American in like 2 years, if not this year, with him.
You know, Jason Candle was the OC under Matt Campbell, or Jason Candle was the OC under Matt Campbell for, I think, like a year before they elevated him to the head coach at Toledo. He didn't have any connections to Toledo before that. And they, you know, they're like, what, 6-1 right now? You know,
quite well, could be undefeated. 3 points for being undefeated.
So, I mean, I don't understand this whole they have to play it safe narrative. I mean, if you look at the article, I'll just repeat it here very briefly. The teams that like play it safe, that hire, let's be real, retreads like Jeff Tedford, the best case scenario is that, you know, maybe they're competitive, but like the closest analogs that I could think of in the group of five, you know, you're talking about Skip Holtz at Louisiana Tech, Tommy Tuberville at Cincinnati, Bob Davey, who we're all familiar with, Football Bob! And
Bowden at Akron.
Terry Bowden at Akron.
And also, you could put in Frank Solich at Ohio.
But he's been around for a while. But he wasn't exactly a retread because he was actually very successful at Nebraska.
Yeah. Nebraska has those high expectations.
But, you know, between the four guys I listed, guess how many conference titles they have?
Zero?
Zero.
Closest is what, PJ Fleck, I think?
Yeah, people are saying, like, this is a two-
In New Mexico.
This is the 2 or 3 year fix. Well, yeah, no duh, it's a 2 or 3 year fix. But guess who else has had 2 or 3 year fixes? The teams that are winning right now in pretty much every single conference in the group of five.
Like, look at Wyoming. We really thought Craig Bull would have it done last year. They're not, but year three, look what they're doing. Nick Rolovich, year one, doing well. Except PJ Fleck, a couple years. Tom Herman took over a good thing in Houston, with who we had, doing extremely well. Here's the thing. You're firing your coach. There's a reason you need a new coach. You're not a good football team, people. If you were a good football team, you wouldn't need a new coach, and you'd be going to a bowl game and contending for conference titles. A new coach anywhere is going to take a minimum 2 years to turn around. If you turned around a program in 1 year, that's clearly the former head coach's problem, or a million injuries like the final year of Pat Hill, you mentioned before. Yeah. So you can't expect to go, yes, the West Division is not very good, but guess what? Hawaii's getting better. Aztecs aren't going anywhere. UNLV and Hawaii. Sorry, I'm going on. Rebels in Hawaii are getting better. It's not a great division, so it's a good spot to win quickly. You're not winning in this division now, and you have okay talent. Let me put it this way. You've recruited good talent. You need a new coach. That's all I can say. If you need a new coach, you're not going to be going to a bowl game next year.
Exactly.
And that's the point. I don't get what's Tedford going to do? You put it out there, Kyle Bowler, okay, he was with the Ravens. All right. Aaron Rodgers, very, very good.
Can I just stop
Everybody else has been okay.
Can I just stop you there for a second?
Yes, go ahead. Stop me, please.
If you're thinking about using Kyle Bowler as a defense for Jeff Tedford, just stop. Because Kyle Bowler was one of the
worst. He went to the Ravens. Come on. He was in the NFL, Matt. Come on.
He's one of the worst first-round quarterbacks of all time. And it's like, Kyle Bowler. Joey Harrington. Achilles Smith. Oh, you mean three of the worst first-round quarterbacks of all time?
Pretty much.
Guys who, you know, if you really take a long look at the numbers they put up under Tedford, weren't that good.
And Smith was a running guy mostly, too.
Yeah. And so it's just like, it's a little bit headache-inducing, to be honest. I legitimately thought Fresno State fans were smarter than this.
And here's one thing as well. I put it in the article today. When one reason, I know the APR is not perfect by any means. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of issues with like transfers, guys going to the NFL. Oh, also one error we made last week. Tedford does have a degree, so we need to back off and say he doesn't say
master's degree.
No, it says preferred master's degree.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That was the whole
preferred
joke.
I know, but last week we said he did not have a degree at all. So I think we erred on that. But I've looked around. He does, which good for him. But back to the APR, there's a lot of stuff with it where, like I said, transfers, guys go to pro. But Cal, that was one of the reasons he was let go. And the number one reason, which I was going to put in more for the on the article I did about the contract being out there, but the number one reason, or number one what like job requirement, was something to do with APR. How can you justify bringing him in? Not to say it's the end all be all, but how can you put that number one on your list? Because there's an order there. There's a reason that's at the top that you bring him in where there was APR issues, despite the former Cal AD saying we tripled our academic staff to help him out. Still, APR is not where it needed to be. I know Cal's very difficult to go through, but APR doesn't matter if you're at Cal, Princeton, wherever, a good school where it's grades hard to get in. But once you're there, it's equal playing field for grades. It's hard to flunk out. Like, I know people, if you go to Stanford, Cal, those top schools, once you're in, they don't want you to flunk out. So to put that number one at the top and for Fresno State, and then part of the reason Tedford was let go because of APR score, come on. That's another thing where, I know it's not all his fault, but you got to look into that stuff as well.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm a little less familiar with the whole academic side of it, but I mean, just looking at, like, the results that his offense has put up with, you know, especially a quarterback. He's supposed to be a quarterback guru. And
allegedly.
You know, like I'll refer you for more detail to the article that I wrote. But from, you know, in the post Aaron Rodgers years, which is from, you know, 2005 to 2012 when he got fired, his quarterbacks only cracked 60% one time as passers. And if you want to succeed, you have to be efficient in this league. And, you know, if you look at some of the quarterbacks, you know, Christian Chapman actually leads the conference right now in completion percentage. He's at
60%. What?
Yeah. Wow. Tyler Stewart is actually number two with 63%. You know, Brett Rippon's at 62.6. Even Drew Brown is at 62% since becoming the starter. You know, that's the benchmark that you need to get to have an efficient passing attack these days. And just based off of that kind of track record alone, I don't know if Tedford's the guy to get Virgil or anybody else that they bring in to that level.
So I get he's done okay. Like, it, my main problem is, like, there's a lot of reasons to like or not like him. I think I said before, my main reason issue is that, like you mentioned before, jokingly, heat seeking missile essentially for this hire.
Mm-hmm.
Had they gone through, because they already said they're not doing a coaching firm, which is nice. That's a waste of the six figures. I want to get that job someday. That'd be nice. Be part of a firm to do that. But had they gone through, you heard the interview. They put out flyers to Lane Kiffin. They go out to Major Applewhite, or they go to whatever. Matt Wells is thrown out there. That's ridiculous. But they put out flyers to just Trent Dilfer, whomever out there you're looking at, Louisville OC, even Mark Helfrich, he might be out of set down the road. But like you said, Doug Nussmeier, Jim Lovett, whoever you're looking at, that would be fine. But Tedford, like you said, Tedford's not even number one. What's higher than one? Is there something higher than number one choice? Alpha choice or something? Because that's where Tedford is. And it boggles my mind that he's there. Go through a regular search, interview a bunch of guys, names will float out here and there, but if you decide on Tedford, great. But my main beef is that going after him so hard as the top choice, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, I put together a list of like 11 or 12 guys that I would consider talking to. But if I'm being real, like, I could think of at least three guys I'd rather have than Tedford. I'd rather have Galloway. I'd rather have Noel Mazzoni, who's the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M.
What about Tony Franklin at Middle Tennessee State, OC, former of Cal?
No, because I feel like he's a lot like Tedford, where he's an older guy. He's,
okay,
you know, something like that. And, you know, I would rather have someone, I mean, if there was one guy I'd like back up the Brinks truck for, which I think is extremely unlikely, it'd be Luke Fickle, the Ohio State defensive coordinator. You know, I'd rather have Blake Anderson from Arkansas State. I'd rather have Morgan Scally from Utah. How many? That's like five guys right there that I'd rather have than Tedford.
I don't know what else is to say. I just don't know if people tell us. I know people. We know people listen to the show, so give us a comment, whatever, Twitter, Facebook page, whenever we post this up. Let us know. And again, you can't just say quarterback guru because whatever. Tell us why.
Because it's overblown. That's why
it is. He could coach. I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I think people are taking offense to you and me saying he's a terrible coach. He's not. But a couple other, let us know why you'd want him as number 1A without really doing more research than you'd like, at least in my opinion, to pick out your coach. I had something here I was going to look up, but oh, I had a good point here I was going to say. Dang it. I was going to say something. Oh, no, the health. Okay, no, here's I got it right here. Sorry, I was looking. I have too many tabs open here. Mm-hmm. Hey, finished Kyle poorly, which that's why he's hot fired as well. But here's the thing. If he's such a good coach, why was he not coaching for like multiple years? And this is before, I remind you, the health issue thing, because he was out in 2012. He was out for a year or so, which is fine. He went to Tampa Bay, had to step away from, was it heart condition? Is that correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, heart procedure, which I'm glad he recovered well and doing fine, but he was in the freaking CFL. What type of coaching path is that? And for 1 year as well, before I assume he wants to get back in college, which is why after 2015, he went to go to Washington to be a consultant. So he either wants to coach so bad, he goes to CFL, but it just doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? It's like, who goes to this? No offense to the CFL, but that's a complete, maybe, I don't know. I'm a loss of words here because it's a different game, different field size, three downs. It's a few different rules here and there, but the career path is uneasy for me for him to go back to college. And if he was that good, why wouldn't he get another coaching job somewhere else before?
Two things. First thing is, you know, Fresno State is unique in the sense that no other team in the Group of Five ever got as close to the BCS as often as they did without breaking through. You know, Boise State obviously has won like three or four Fiesta Bowls by this point. You know, Northern Illinois broke through, Utah broke through, TCU broke through. You know, if you look back at, you know, 2001, 2005, 2013, you know, I think those had the effect of really raising the expectations of the program. And I'm not opposed to that. I feel like this team has proven in the past that they are good enough to get there with a few more breaks. But related to that, which is my second point, is you're going to hear a lot about how Jeff Tedford is the safe hire. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Safe hires don't win conference championships.
Charlie Strong was technically a safe hire for Texas.
Safe hires don't get to the New Year's Eve bowl game.
And another name, Charlie Weiss at Kansas. How did that work out for you?
And I'll say this right now. This is my prediction. And I said this on Twitter earlier, so maybe not be a, you know, maybe spoiled or anything like that. But Fresno State's not going to win a conference championship as long as Jeff Tedford's the head coach.
Ooh, that's a pretty good heavy take there.
I mean, maybe they get to a couple of, New Mexico Bowls? Is that really something worth celebrating around here? I don't think so.
No, because Fresno, like I said, they have a tradition of coming, it kind of sucks, but close, but never there. Like, yeah. They've always seemed to be Boise State's rival, but they've never really beat Boise State. They've had very difficult times. They either blow big leads against some, or what was it, when they had David Carr, weren't they top 10 and lost at home to Boise?
Yeah.
Back, like, in, was it 01 or something, the 02 season, I believe?
They were number 8 that year, but yeah.
So, I get their point. Like, there's good football to be had there, and they showing they can perform well, but I don't under, like I said, safe hire. Safe is crappy. Why be safe?
If I'm
safe, I want to go to interest rate on my next credit card or mortgage. You know what I mean? I don't want to be safe to, or if I'm going to eat Indian food the first time, I'm going to be safe. This is a dumb example, but if I like pizza or I like tacos or our burrito example, we like burritos, tacos. Mm-hmm. I will give an exotic place to try or a new place to try because, hey, this is different. I don't normally get this, but the ingredients sound good. Why not go for that? They know I'm going to get my same sausage breakfast burrito every day I'm going to get or every other day I'm going to have. I know this stuff looks good. Go for it. Why settle? Even though you know it's good and could be good, but this other thing over here might be great that you don't know about, even though it's 10 miles across town or whatever.
See, here's the analogy I came up with.
I don't know. I'm thinking of something. Does that make sense? I don't know.
People are putting out there, like, you know, they're not interested in another up-and-coming coordinator because look how well that worked out with Drew Ruder. First of all, maybe they should have just never given him the extension to begin with, because that is probably the crux of the entire problem. And second of all, that's like saying that, you know, someone told you about this awesome beach spot and you went there one day and it rained, so you're never going to go back there again. It doesn't make
any sense. Yeah, you stubbed your toe on a rock.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So it's kind of asinine, if you're asking me, that you're not going to consider that kind of option again. Tedford doesn't make sense to me. I don't like it. I don't think it's the best option. And I don't think Fresno State's going to get to where it deserves to be as long as he's the head coach.
All right. We've exhausted this enough, because assume it's the guy who, if you had to pick one person, or give me, no, that's not for us. Give me you already mentioned a couple, but one more time. Who are your three choices you'd be happy with them hiring?
In a perfect world, assuming most of the factors, you know, affordability and stuff like that, Lonnie Galloway would be my top three. Noel Mazzoni would be there too. And, you know, assuming they can get a good coaching staff around him, probably someone like Morgan Scalley, who has a recruiting background.
Do not take Morgan Scalley from me.
He has a recruiting background. He's unearthed plenty of unheralded stars, you know, at Utah, from not only up and down California, but across the West. So, you know, I think those would probably be my top three choices, if I were being honest.
Okay. One last thing here. Louisville, if Lonnie Galloway, might be tough, because if they make the playoff,
yeah,
they're not going to allow him. That's a problem, too. Like, people say, oh, Lane Kiffin, but he may not be available until mid-January. It's 3 weeks before signing day. Mm-hmm. So you got to take that consideration as well. Besides even the money, which I don't know how much it can pay, because Drewder was about $1.5 million. Yeah. This next guy might make $800,000, I'm thinking.
Yeah, so I mean, but you know, assuming about $1 million, $1.2 million or something like that, kind of pushing the limits of the budget, those would be my top three.
Yeah, I did a good Galloway, good set. Mazzoni, sure, I'm okay. I'm not a huge fan, but A&M's doing good things now that they got their quarterback situation settled and everybody's done transferring. I think my last word is that It's gonna be freaking to Tedford, but they didn't do the research, and it's gonna bite them. And Bartko's gonna. I'm gonna predict this. Jim, how long is Jim Bartko? He's been there what? Not even a year, right?
He's been there, I think, about 18 months, if I'm not mistaken.
He's not gonna make it past 4 years if Tedford's the head coach. I think Tedford could flame out miserably. I think.
I mean, I guess we'll see.
I'm just thinking. Like, I think it's such a bad hire. Like. Okay, let's do one last thing here, because we need to get a game preview. I know people came for that, I think. But if Tedford's a coach, like, what do you see their future being like in, let's just say he stays for 4 years, and or his 5-year contract, he stays just for that. What do you see in their future? Couple bowl games, maybe one bowl game, 500 record overall? Like, what would you envision it being like with him as a head coach, just say record-wise?
I think they'll be fine, but I don't think they're going to be able to challenge a team like, let's say, San Diego State year in and year out for the division title. You know, they'll be bowl eligible probably most of the time. I would say maybe 3 out of 5 years if he's there 5 years. But I'm not anticipating them doing much more than that if that's the route they're going to take.